Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
If I lay the head of Goliath at your feet, will you serve me in the morning? Will you be faithful to me when you actually have choices for the first time in your life? Or will you let prosperity take you away from me? Today we're going to ask a simple question that God asked within himself. Will they stay faithful to me to the end? Chapter 24, verse 13 has these famous words that I believe is related to salvation. But the one who endures to the end will be delivered. I've been working, before I get started, or as part of this sermon, I've been working on a contract with the Perry Stone, who has asked me to teach 10 Bible college classes for his new Bible college. And in doing so, because it's apologetically driven, I've had to go back and get legal permission to use certain pictures of antiquity. I asked, and Trista has been helping me with this, I asked a Jewish person in Israel for permission. Now, you have to remember, I've asked dozens and dozens of academics and historians and archaeologists for permission to use pictures. And every one of them have said graciously, absolutely, we're just glad someone asked. But it's interesting because I got a letter back Friday from this person in Israel that said, I'm sure you mean well. However, as a Christian minister, I cannot let my picture be used for the propagation of a dead Jew. And then he goes on to attack the Christian faith and talk about its nonsense. We're living in a day and an age when we are facing persecution. Do you realize this week alone that they outlawed or made a law in the public school system, which I'm sure is going to be fought, that it's illegal to listen to Christian music on a bus, school bus? We're not in the 1950s anymore. We're in an age where Christians are going to have to ask themselves, am I going to be faithful to the end? And I've got a message coming up in 2 weeks called The Magnificent Exit. And you don't want to miss that, especially before an election. But Matthew 24 and 13 says, and I want to talk to you from my heart today, it says, but he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. How many of you want to make it and be faithful to the end? Can I see your hands? You see, I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. Turn in those Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, and let's start there. The Bible actually says, wherefore, holy brethren, talking about the body of Christ, you and me, who are partakers of the heavenly calling, which means all of us have a calling from heaven. How many of you want to answer the call from heaven to come to heaven? All right? A heavenly calling, consider therefore the apostle and the high priest, which is Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. In other words, Jesus was faithful to God the Father. And then it says, and also another person that was very faithful, that's called faithful in the Bible, was Moses, because he was faithful to the children of Israel. Now, the book of Hebrews offers a strong, vital word to all of those that are partakers of a heavenly calling. This heavenly calling is that you hear heaven calling you, and that heaven is calling you to leave the foolishness of this world and to leave the materialism of this world. But that leads me to this question, or this statement. Do you realize if you want to be faithful to God, you cannot be... How many of you want to be faithful to God? Let me see your hands. Well, you cannot be faithful to God. And this is interesting. I've never really noticed this in all the years of studying theology. But the root cause of faithfulness in the scripture is this. You cannot be faithful to God if you allow unbelief in your heart. And so if you're going to be faithful to God, you've got to get rid of unbelief. One way in which we do this is through apologetics. I stood in front of the mural that Esther stood in front of her whole life. There are over 25,000 archaeological sites that confirm the historical narrative of the Bible. So you can use apologetics. 1 Peter 3:14. Always have a defense, an apology, apologetics for the faith that is in you. But we're not talking about apologetics this morning. I want to talk to you as a pastor and tell you that if you want to finish the battle well, and if you want to see God say, well done, my good and faithful servant, then you've got to keep unbelief out of your heart. And what does that mean? That means that you have complete confidence that God is going to deliver you completely, and that you have no fear that God is not going to show up. How many of you would like to have that kind of faith? You know, we all struggle with that. But look with me in Hebrews 4 and 2. It says, but the word preached did not profit them. But the word of God that they were hearing, just like you're hearing the word right now, did not profit them. What caused them not to profit? Not being mixed with faith in that they heard it. In other words, I can preach until I'm blue into the faith. I'm blue in the face. But until you have faith, until I have faith that God is not going to leave me. And how do you get faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And so you get faith in God by believing in the things you don't see. But also faith is built when you've stayed on the potter's wheel long enough through a battle that you know God through experience is never going to leave you, and that no matter what the enemy's meant for your harm, he's going to always turn it around for your good. In other words, you get like the old saints in the church and you say, he's never done me nothing but good. How many of you can say that you've been with God long enough through enough of battles that you know he's going to come through every time? Not in the way you want, sometimes not in the way you thought, but he's never going to leave you and he's never going to forsake you. Let me see your hands now. You're the ones I'm talking about. You've kind of got that relationship with God, not like young Christians who fall apart every time the wind blows, but mature Christians who say, I have faith in what I've heard. I have faith in the word of God. I have faith that he's not going to leave me. I have faith that I'm not going to lose this battle. I have faith that even if what I fear happens to me, God is going to turn it around for my good. There's no way I can lose if I'm living in righteousness. Amen. And so what you find out, you got to let those words of Hebrews 4 and 2 sink in. Unless what you've read and heard preached is mixed with faith, it has no value. I knew a guy with a degree in theology in Western Kentucky who claimed to be an atheist. I know a son of a prominent minister who says he no longer believes in God. Listen, you can hear the word of God, but until you mix it with faith and you rely on God to get you out of some stuff, you don't really know God. But when you trust God, when everything around you says don't trust him, when you look at the news and you look at the presidential race and you look at people getting fined for playing Christian music on a school bus as a kid, or you see Christians in Egypt being persecuted, or you, everywhere you look, there seems to be chaos. But I'm here to tell you, God is still on the throne. ISIS is not in control. Putin is not in control. Russia is not in control. Obama is not in control. Hillary Clinton is not in control. Donald Trump is not in control. God is still in control of this earth, and he moves them like a master puppeteer. And so you find out that you can't be faithful if you allow unbelief to take up. Hebrews 3 and 2 says, Jesus was faithful to him that appointed him. Also Moses was faithful to his house. And in what way was their faithful measured? If we want to be faithful to God, do you want to be faithful to God? Say amen. If you want to be faithful to God, how is it measured? They were counted faithful because they never doubted the Heavenly Father. I got to be honest. I got to give like you do in an academic setting. I got to admit my bias. I have been unfaithful to God and got to a place in my life more than once where I didn't know where he was, I didn't know what he was doing, and I didn't have any faith that he was going to show up. Anybody ever been there? Let me see heads. That's part of the human experience of wondering where God is. But part of growing in faith and maturing in faith is where you are counted faithful because you never doubted he was going to come through for you. And there's this crazy kind of faith that God is asking for us who handle prosperity right, who stay like Jehoshaphat through the battle and then serve him 25 years after the worst battle of their life, and they don't let prosperity take them away from God. And then there's a group of people where God the Father looks within himself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and says, I wonder if they'll be faithful to the end. What do you think? Because it's the one that's faithful to the end that's going to be saved. And it's the one that's faithful to the end that's going to get delivered. You never, like my friend from Eastern Kentucky says, you'll never get livered if you run off from God all the time. He used to tell a friend of mine that's a pastor in Winchester, I know I'm not supposed to be chewing this tobacco, but I'm going to go get livered Sunday night. How many of you want to get livered or delivered? Let me see your heads. Where you stay faithful to God through any kind of battle or persecution you're going through. And so they were counted faithful because they never doubted God. There is a place in faith where you can go when you're living in righteousness that matures to the place that you don't doubt God. That you don't doubt his existence. How many of you would like to get there? I want to get there. And so you have to realize that Jesus and Moses both knew. So it's not just Jesus, but you always got to realize when you talk about Jesus living in an earthly body, he was 100% human just like you. And he was 100% God. But he did not think it was anything, according to the book of Philippians, to exploit his Godhead. As a matter of fact, the Greek and the Hebrew actually says that God made Jesus look a little homely so that he couldn't even use his physical appearance to have one up on someone else. So Jesus, when we say Jesus was faithful and did not doubt God, don't think that as a human that he didn't have those temptations. And don't think, now did he sin? No, he never sinned. But Moses, everybody knows Moses killed somebody. Moses screwed up. Moses had a temper. Moses struck the rock before it was time. But the Bible says Moses had this kind of faith. Moses had the kind of faith that says, I'm going to be faithful to you no matter what happens. And I'm never going to doubt you. You see, faithfulness is simply believing God will keep his word. How many of you believe God's going to keep his word? Now, how hard is it to say that when your back's against the wall? How hard is it to say that when the doctors told you you got cancer? How hard is it to say that when you're taking a risk to start a new business because you have a vision to do something great with your life? The same scriptures apply to you, that God is going to be faithful to his word. And if you're standing on the word, it doesn't matter what the enemy tells you. Someone say amen. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, they said they held, Jesus and Moses, held from the beginning their confidence steadfast until the end. So here's Moses, and he murdered a human being. Here's Moses, and he had a temper. Here's Moses, and he struck the rock before its time. Here's Moses, and he got sick of being used by God. Here's Jesus, 100% man. Jesus and Moses, according to Hebrews 3:14, says they held from the very beginning of their journey confidence that was steadfast, unmovable, to the very end that God was always going to deliver them. I find that amazing. They didn't have up and downs, hot and cold, here today and gone tomorrow faith. They had faith that never wavered. Do you realize that God can be faithful to you in your sinfulness? Do you realize you can murder somebody? I'm not telling you to go murder somebody. But you can go and do great atrocities and God can still use you. Do you realize it's possible to have the kind of faith that doesn't waver during tough times and still have an Achilles heel and still have a walk with a limp and still have sin in your life? That you can have that kind of faith, that God will help you mature in that kind of faith? You see, Jesus was faithful in his confidence to the Father. And it came out. You see it in Hebrews 3 and 6. But here's the point. In our trials, when they increase and our battles grow stronger and our flesh becomes weary, many Christians allow fear and they allow doubt to creep in. And what do? They lose their abandonment to God. It's like Peter walking on the water. You were doing fine until you got your eyes on the wave. And they start questioning God and they start questioning things. And what happens? And I want you to listen to me because I'm pulling pieces together like a master puzzle this morning. You start questioning God when the winds start blowing And you had faith in God because you've watched him deliver you time and time again over an issue, over a subject. Give you the answers to your prayers, whether it's increase in finances or whether it's a wife to come home or whether it's a child to be delivered or whether it's a new job or a new promotion or the ability to buy a new car. Whatever it's in your heart, it still all applies, good or bad. And so you've watched God deliver you over and over and over again. But all of a sudden this time you allow questions to come into your heart. Where is God? Why did God leave me? Why is he letting me go through this? Let me tell you what you got to get out of your head. You got to get out of your head that you're so special to God that you never have to go through something. It ain't got jack squat to do with God. It's got everything to do with there's an adversary. And if Jesus was persecuted, so you're going to be persecuted. You're going to have tough times. That's not the point. The point is, you got something other people who don't know Christ don't have. And that is the ability for God to walk with you through every storm, trial, and tribulation. There isn't one thing that you're ever going to walk through as long as you're walking in righteousness and you didn't get into trouble because of unrighteousness. There's not one thing you're going to go through that God isn't going to walk through it with you. There's not an enemy big enough that can defeat you. There's not enough of time left in the universe for the devil to seal your grave. God is going to be your rear guard and your front guard. He'll be before you. He'll be after you. He'll be atop of you, at the bottom of you, to the left or the right. Neither death nor principalities or darkness or spiritual things a height or spiritual things below shall by any means separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Someone say amen and realize that victory has already been assured. And when you get that in your mind, that it's not my battle, David, but it's God's, and that God is going to fight this battle, and as long as I stand still, as long as I stand still, I'm going to come out victorious. And God, it's the simple stuff today, but it's the stuff we miss because what happens is that we start listening to the devil's lies. We've seen him deliver us 100 times. But we got to remind ourselves our enemy is the one that's out there to destroy us. And how, listen to me carefully this morning, how, if you lose, if you are about to lose, how is the only way you can lose? Make sure I got the right crowd. Who believes God can do anything? Don't lift your hand if you're not serious. How many of you believe that there's nothing that God cannot get you out of if you trust him and live in righteousness? Can I see your hands? Then I have one last question for you. My question for you is, the only way that you can lose is to believe the lie the enemy whispers in your mind. The battlefield is not in the family courthouse. The battlefield is not at GE for the promotion. The battlefield is not outside these doors. The battlefield is between your ears. It is what you believe or what you do not believe. I've just proven it in Hebrews. And let me tell you something about whoever wrote Hebrews. Some people say Philip's daughters wrote Hebrews. Some people say Paul wrote Hebrews. Some people say someone else wrote Hebrews. Whoever wrote the book of Hebrews was a master at Judaism. Very highly educated. We know this through the writing and the Greek. We know this in a lot of different ways. So whoever wrote Hebrews knew what they were talking about. The only way you can lose is between your ears. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if he can get your mind corrupted, he's got you. What did the Bible say in John 8:44? Jesus said the devil was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks, didn't say sometimes, it says Jesus said when he speaks. When he speaks. When he speaks like a liar. He is a liar. And Jesus said he's the father of all liars. And so if you hold fast faithfulness by what you hear and believe through faith that God isn't going to let you down, then I want to ask you something. How do you lose the battle? You lose the battle between your ears. And between your ears is where he speaks to you. Jesus exposed him and said he's the liar and he's the father of all lies and he's always been a liar. And where are all lies birthed? In the bosom of Satan. But let me explain something to you. Trick question. How many of you believe we're living in the last days? Four of you. That's great. How many believe we're living in the last days? True or false? All right? Look at Revelations 12, 9 through 10. And that great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. How did he deceive the whole world? For he was the accuser of the brethren. He was the accuser of the brethren, and he's been cast down, which accuses the brethren. Who's the brethren? Christians, you and me, brothers and sisters. He accuses you both day and night. How does he accuse you? Watch this. Right here. You're not going to get healed. Right here. God hasn't forgiven you. Right here. How do you win? How many of you want to defeat the devil that God gave you victory over? Let me see your head. The way that you defeat him is right here. Right here is how he's defeated. And because what you have to realize, the Bible says, especially in the last days, especially in the last days, Satan would spend most of his time accusing the brethren. He doesn't have to confuse the Pentagon right now that's taking our tax dollars and paying for transgender reassignment surgery. He doesn't have to take the nuts that want to take away our guns while they have guns protecting them. He doesn't need to spend any time there. He doesn't need to spend any time in school districts that don't believe there's a God. He doesn't need to spend any time in Europe that has lost God many years ago. No, no, no. He already knows who he's got, and how did he get him? He got him right here. He got him right here. And so the Bible says in the end times, he spends his biggest majority of his time accusing the brethren. Look at verse 15 of Revelation 12. His lies are meant to disrupt our peace. His lies are meant to disrupt our peace and our confidence in God. Revelation 12, 15. The scriptures say this. Read this slowly because Revelations is full of allegory, but it does have some good pieces of doctrine. Cast out of his mouth, the great dragon, Satan, water as flood after the woman. The woman is a symbol of the church, ecclesia, you and me. Know you not that your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost? Cast out of the dragon's mouth as a flood of water, didn't say drips of water, as a flood of water towards the woman, the church, comma, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Now, Revelation 12 talks about how he's the accuser of the brethren. Do you realize in the last days, if you're going to be faithful to God, you better get control of the two things between your ears. And you better train it in righteousness by the word of God, putting it to memory. Because Satan's number one goal against every single person underneath the sound of my voice is to flood your heart and your mind with accusations and accusing you in the last days. In other words, his plans are to flood your mind with nonsense, with lies. You're not good enough. God didn't forgive you. She doesn't love you. You're going to get fired. What if the coal industry goes to pits? If you're tithing, you're going to be fine. If you're not, you're in trouble. The flood in Revelation 12:15 is a flood of lies because the dragon was called the accuser of the brethren. He's speaking lies about the church, the woman. So the thing you're going to get flooded with in the last days is a bunch of lies. And if the truth isn't in you and you don't know the word of God, you're going to get annihilated. But if you know the word of God, the devil is the one that's going to get annihilated. Because I'm about to preach in 3 weeks. Don't you dare think that God is going to exit his church or his people out of this world quietly. The Apostle Paul and Silas told the people after the jail had been ripped at 12 o'clock. I preached on that a few weeks ago. Paul literally looks at him in the Greek and says, if you think I'm leaving quietly, you got another thing coming. God just caused an earthquake. Jesus went up in heaven in an ascension so everyone could see him. He rose from the dead in 3 days. He didn't leave quietly. When you're gone at the rapture, everybody's going to know it. There will not be a quiet exit. So don't you be quiet while you wait for the coming of the Son of Man. You tell people how good God is. When they tell you it's illegal, speak up louder. Well, you tell people how faithful God has been. You love God at work. You love God at school. You love him in the courthouse. You love him at the voting booth. Don't you go out of this world quietly, because that's not God's plans for your life. His lies are meant to disrupt us. And there's a flood of lies. Satan doesn't waste his time lying to sinners. They're already full of lies and held captive. Like the person who wrote me back this week and said, I can't let you use the picture to propagate a lie about a dead Jew. No, Satan lies to the believers. Why? Because their hearts are set on God. How do you think Satan gets your heart away from God? Through a lie that lands in your brain, that destroys your faith. Now that's really quite complex, but theologically, to start with, it's extremely simple. And it's so simple, everyone in here wants to underestimate the power of believing a lie. But Satan uses his most subtle, convincing lies against those who are determined to enter into the rest of God. How many of you, and if I didn't believe this, I wouldn't be here 2 seconds. I just spent 2 weeks in England with a bunch of reprobates getting a PhD, some of them in theology, that don't a bit more believe God. My 7-year-old son has more faith than those jokers. No faith. 5 lesbians majoring in theology, arguing with me about conservatism. Folks, this world is about to wrap up. That's not bad news. That's good news. It's only bad news if you're materialistic and your heart's in the wrong place. Jesus is about to reward his people. And Satan promises in Revelation 12 that in the last days, the dragon would flood the woman with lies. Why does he want to flood you with lies? He wants to flood you with lies because God has promised on this earth. On this earth. Rest for his people. If God didn't want you to rest, why would he give you water and lakes? If God didn't want you to rest, why would he establish the Sabbath? God doesn't want you walking around wringing your hands in these last hours. He wants you walking around clapping your hands. Clapping is a sign of victory in Old Testament worship. That's why I always say, clap your hands, because the pagans and the saints can worship God together at that moment. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout aloud with a voice of triumph. Too many believers are going to exit this old world wringing their hands, smelling like smoke, St. Peter said, arriving in those pearly gates. But I'll tell you how I want to enter those pearly gates. I want to slide in. If this old world is after you, you get in front of them, you wave and act like it's a parade in your honor. Because the Bible promises you. Now, let me ask you again before I close. How many of you believe God can do anything? Now, he's promised you rest. Hebrews 4 and 9. There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. You know, one of the things, and I want to get you out of here in just a few minutes, but when I had 2 days off in Europe, and I would go, and even at the school, I'm in a very secular school, 36,000 students, and very, 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 very few light, if any. They're there, but it's very, very few. And the hopelessness I saw on kids' lives in Europe, the hopelessness that there's no God. Now, I'm not saying I'm a six literal day creationist, and I'm not saying that I'm a theistic evolutionist. I'm telling you, I don't know. What I do know is that evolution is a mathematical impossibility without the aid of an intelligent designer. And I'm telling you, if God wanted to speak and in 6 days created all, he could have created it in one day. going to do, He's going to cover you. If you need covering, I'm going to pray over your covering. On the count of three, get up out of your seat. Come and stand right down here. 1, 2, 3, come now.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.